It can be really hard. If you want to modify diet, if you want to become more active, if you want to become more skillful at managing the stresses that bombard all of us, especially now, it's difficult to do that in a conscientious way, in a consistent way. How do you see medicine being able to help with this?
I think we know that if you bite off too much, nobody will make the changes. But if you take small steps, so for example, Jim Hill, the fellow at University of Colorado, who really got the idea of the 10,000 steps, which led to all the pedometers, and that was an important thing to do with exercise, said it's just getting started in a very small way. That's one of the keys, and I think that's the same with diet, exercise, and stress management.
One day at a time. It's not necessary to overwhelm yourself with the image of scaling the whole mountain.
Absolutely. Then it becomes too tough. Then you feel like you're the failure. So then you'll go back to, like, I knew I should have done this. So now I'll go back to all the stressful behaviors in the first place that got you there. So it's I think, a multiple approach. It does come down to establishing a relationship with someone so that you can have sort of that health coach that can help you and tailor something for you. Everybody does things differently. Everybody learns in different ways. I think some of the modern technologies will be of help with the M health, the applications of smartphones and reminding you and finding ways to tailor and individualize for you, the individual. I think those are some of the things that can come in. But I think it's also a question of information that people don't know what they can really do. We have this, you turn on the TV. Our media typically will say, well, here's the pill for this particular ill. And I think that, and it's a constant bombardment that way. And I think that that's one of the sort of paradigm shifts that is starting to happen. I don't think that most of us in this country, I don't think I understood the depth of how poor we are doing in health individually and as a country.
And what are the drivers of our diminishing health status as a nation?
It's multiple. It's a complex situation. We don't have a good primary care health system. That's one. We have a fragmented system. The 15-minute, 10 to 15-minute visits that we were talking about before is another, and poor communication and follow-up is certainly there. We don't have universal coverage. We're one of the only developed countries, industrialized countries, that doesn't have that. We have all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't have it, but if you look at every other industrialized country that made that change, it's helped them in many ways.
It's helped them in terms of health outcomes.
In terms of health outcomes, yeah. We also have a complex, socioeconomic society. There's a great disparity, in incomes and in climbing the social ladder and in the environment. Bill McGuinness, many years ago, showed an article and a pie chart to say that what we do in our individual encounters, doctor-patient or practitioner-patient, maybe accounts for about 20% at most of the health outcomes. But it's all the other factors that are outside the clinic. Your genomics, the cards that you're dealt, your lifestyle behaviors are probably 30 or 40% of the outcome. And as well as that, the environment, and then and some other smaller factors. So it's all this
By the
interplay.
environment, you mean such as pollutants?
Pollutants, to having access to healthy food, to being in an area that that it's actually you can walk in, having access to sidewalks or bicycle paths or can. List can go on and on. It can be either can be conducive for health, or it can make it very tough to have health. But the important factor is that a lot of this is outside. It's partly in our hands. It's in our hands as a society, You know, so people talk about medical-centered care or patient-centered care, which is certainly an improvement. Others are talking about citizen-centered healthcare, and that it's up to all of us.
Explain that, please. That sounds quite interesting.
It's a you know, when we look at how the state of health in our country, it is a complex situation, and there's many factors. So it's not just that our healthcare system isn't doing the job that we all want to see. It's beyond that. You know, it has to do with the type of food that we're getting. It has the type of food that we're eating, the access to the food. So different parts to the food. It has to do with the water that we're drinking. It has to do with the air, but it also has to do with the physical environment.
And so when you say citizen-based health, is that shifting the responsibility more and more to the individual to be health conscious?
It is. There's a partnership, I would say, between the health professional, the doctor, and the person. So you want to know what your choices are, but it's also shifting that to the responsibility to the individual to say, you know, there are only so much that we'll be able to do with our drugs, with our surgery, with our radiation, with our different treatments. And it's a partnership. So it's, in a way, teaching people ways that they can help themselves. And it goes even further because our politicians and our policymakers have to be part of this process as well. And to really look at, overall, how can we're all citizens in this, and we're all part of this community. We need to be able to break down the barriers and the silos, and we also need to be able to have the opportunity for these better choices. You know, it's one thing to say that the Mediterranean diet is a very healthy diet.
Lots of fruits and vegetables.
Olive oil. That same diet in Newark, New Jersey, may not do as well. You're not in the Mediterranean. The environment is very different. But we can create, as people are starting to do in our cities, our own Mediterraneans. We can really make that difference. We can have, you know, urban farms. We're working with a group, and many people are, you know, with urban farming. And really, we're working with some schools, some, you know, poor inner city Baltimore schools right now. We could have a summer institute. And we have a 7-acre urban farm that we're working with. We will teach the kids about, one, how these foods are grown. We'll teach them about the science. We'll also, since we'll have them for the 6 weeks that summer, we'll teach them about stress management and yoga, so, and some physical training. And we'll also teach them some communication skills so they can blog and they can write about the experiences that they're having. And, you know, it does go back to some of the old ways of doing things. And people are going back that way. You know, there's the whole push to local, healthy, sustainable foods. I think there's a lot to it. I also do believe, you know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So let me be clear that we have made a lot of advances in modern medicine and in technology. So we want to sort of have a blend of the both. I want it both ways, in a way, because I think we don't want to go backwards into the dark ages. But what people are talking, just starting to talk about now, is what we need is a partnership between medical care, and I would say holistic medical care, and public health and communities. If we can, right now they're all operating in silos, but if we can really see how one can influence the other and begin to bring them closer together, then we will, I think, start to have an impact and start to catch up to the other countries. And we need to do it because it's actually, we're spending so much on healthcare as the wealthiest nation. We're spending something like $2.6 trillion a year, way more than any other wealthy country. We spend more on our healthcare, like General Motors spends more on the healthcare than they do on steel, you know. So we're bankrupting ourselves, and at the same time, it has profound implications even to our national security. You know, I've heard some of the some generals say we are having a hard time actually recruiting people who can pass the minimum fitness. So it's all of our problem right now.
Hi, I'm David Freudberg, host of Public Radio's Humankind. We've produced this podcast as a free service to you, and we hope you found the information worth listening to. We're planning to produce other content about integrative health. Can you please help us continue this work? At the top of our homepage, humanmedia.org, click on a section called How You Can Help. From there, you can click on an option to donate. Again, our web address is humanmedia.org. Thank you.